All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Good morning. Let us begin. So good to be back by the Reb Tzadik. Wow, Baruch Hashem. You don't realize sometimes how much you miss something until you have it back. Okay. So anyway, Shabbos, say let's go back to begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning's share. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Cheshvan, Stephen Terry Zinn, in loving memory of Steve's father, Albert Zinn, Bunim Tzvi Ben Chaim, Zichron Livracha, on the occasion of his 20th Yahrzeit. Our week of learning sponsors, Keely and Jillian Goldberger, as a zchus for an easy and successful surgery for their son, Aaron. Aaron Yeshaya Ben Rivka Esther. Aaron is having surgery right now as we speak. We hope that in the merits, precious little boy, in merits Hashem, the surgery should be successful, and Chodesh Baruch Hu should grant him a long life, filled with Hatzlacha, Refuah, Yeshua, and Nechama. Amen. Our Dafyomi sponsors for today, an anonymous sponsorship in the Schus of Besoros Tovos and a healthy mother and baby for Sarah Miriam Bas Shulamis Chana, and Dafyomi sponsorship, Ayal and Sarah Steinberg, in the Schus of continued health for Shulamis Chana Bas Susha, and for an ultimate and enduring Refuah. And of course, we dedicate our learning in the Schus of all of Klal Yisrael, the Kodesh Baruch Hu should continue to shower us with Bracha, Hatzlacha, Yeshua Nechama, Besoros Tovos, for Am Yisrael and for Eretz Yisrael. But with that, let us begin. We have a lot to do today. Actually, really not that much to do today, so you guys got a little bit of a subject. So today's daf is Nun. We are picking up in Yeretz Hashem on Mem Tes Amud Beis, and we literally left off last line on Mem Tes Amud Beis, 49b, last night. So if you remember again, the Gemara yesterday went on an interesting, not a tangent, but a side discussion. That side discussion is going to be the primary discussion for today's daf, which is, if you remember again, Abosai, what we established in yesterday's daf was, we established that Halacha L'maisa, an Ola, has Shechita and Kabbalah in the north, a Chatos has Shechita and Kabbalah in the north, and an Asham has Shechita and Kabbalah in the north. Now, interestingly enough, what else we saw was that the din of Tzafan, the din of north, was actually brought down in the context of Ola. And everything else is extrapolated from there. That then led the Gemara on an interesting discussion about when you learn something out from a drasha, can that item then serve as the source for another drasha? So this was very common because, remember, again, we were doing this. We learn out, for example, Chatas from Ola, right? So Ola has to be Shechted and Kabbalah in the north. So we learn out Chatas from that. Can Chatas then serve as a source for something else? So this led actually to a pretty involved conversation where the Gemara was going through the multiple iterations of this question. So that's what we're picking up with today. So last line, Mem Tes Amud Beis 49b. Davar halamid mehekish. So we'll say, for example, let's say you have something that's learned out from a hekish. Hekish means a comparison. A comparison. So can that item, chozer umulamid bekav chomer, can that item, that derived item, then serve as the source of a kal chomer? So we'll say, so just remember using our ABC mashal as we saw in yesterday's daf. So let's say, for example, I learn out B from A with a hekish, a halachic comparison. Can I then use B in a kal v'chomer with C, right? Now, what's the underlying question? The underlying question is, can something which is a derivative at any point serve as a source for another halacha? That's really the fundamental underlying question. The Gemara is just going to ask it in a whole, like, million different ways, depending on the exegetical or derivative method that you are using. Right, so therefore, if I learn out the halacha of B from A by dint of a hekish, of a comparison, can B then be used with C as part of a kal v'chomer? That's the shayla. So the Gemara says, well, let's take a look. Top of Nun, 50a. May the turn of Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel actually, right, as they talk about, right, the turn of Rabbi Shmuel. Davar halamid behekish. Maushi lamid bebinyan av. So Tanya Rabbi Shmuel asks a little bit of a different question. He says, if something is learned out from a hekish, right? B is learned out from hay with a hekish, with a comparison. Can B then go ahead and serve as what we call a binyan av? Binyan av, Rabbi says, is the concept of a paradigm. That's why we loosely translate a paradigm. Can B then serve as a paradigm, ultimately, again, for C? I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says, well, let's analyze this. Lo lichtov tzafona ba'asham. Well, on one hand, we could have said like this. The Torah didn't have to write Safan, didn't have to write anything about the north when it comes to Asham, and go ahead and learn it out from a Binyan Av from Chatos. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Lamai hilchos akase." So he said this again. So the Torah didn't have to say tzafon by asham. Wasn't necessary. And I could have learned it out of a binyan av from a paradigm from chatos. What would have been the binyan av? It would have been just like chatos, which ultimately again atones, is a sin offering, requires tzafon, so to every sin offering requires tzafon. And that would have included asham. And there would have been no need for the Torah to write anything by asham. So why did the Torah write the tzafon obligation by asham? Lav lememra, must be to teach us, davar halamid behekish, ein chozer umalamid bebinyanav. It must be to teach us that something that is learned out through a comparison ultimately can't serve as a source for a binyanav. Right, so we'll see here, this is actually very interesting logic. Had the Torah not written anything by asham, I would have said like this. Just like chatos requires tzafon, so chatos is a paradigm. Paradigm, any sin offering requires tzafon. What else is included in sin offerings? What else is included in sin offerings? Asham. Now, Bosei, now how did I learn out, where do I know that chatos is chayiv in tzafon? Where do I know that from? Ultimately, hekish to ola. So therefore, again, that would have effectively been chatos, which is learned out from a hekish, from a comparison to ola, that it requires tzafon. And now, chatos becomes the binyan of the paradigm, ultimately for asham. So had the Torah not written a north requirement by asham, I could have learned it out from chatos to asham. So chatos learned out from ola through a hekish, and then chatos serves as a binyan of a paradigm to asham. Now, the fact that the Torah did write the north obligation by asham, why did the Torah do that? It must be to teach you lamai hilchas akasvei. So why third? We'll say fourth line down on 50a. So why did the Torah write the north obligation ultimately begin by asham? Lav lememra must be to teach me davar halamid behekish ein chozer umalamid bebinyanav. The only reason that the Torah included the north obligation by asham must be to teach me that halacha lemaisa, something that is learned out by a hekish, cannot serve as a paradigm for something else. Okay, so that seems to answer the question. So Gemara says, one second, hold up. Ulatameich, tisi mi binyanav me'ola. So I don't understand. Gemara says, guys, a little bit on a detour. So Gemara says, I don't understand. Well, the truth is, why do you even need chatas at all? Why can't you ultimately just learn out asham from a binyan av, from a paradigm, ultimately again, of ola, to which the Gemara says, just like ola requires tzafon, so to asham requires tzafon, my time alo asi, so why is it that we don't learn out? Why is it that we don't learn out asham from ola? Mishum di'ika lemifrach, ultimately again, because there's a pircha. What's the pircha? The Gemara says, what's the question on that hekish? Ma lo ola shekin kolil, ola can't serve as the paradigm ultimately again for asham. Why? Because ola is a separate and distinct carbon. What's unique about ola? It's totally consumed on the mizbeach. That stands in contradistinction ultimately again to asham, which is not. The Gemara says, well, one second. So why does it make it any better to learn out asham from chatos? Chatos nami ikal mifrach. I could ask a pircha on chatos also. What's the pircha? Mal chatos shekin mechayeves shehe mechaperes achayve krisos. Chatos is also, so we keep bringing this up, by the way. Chatos is unique. What makes chatos unique? Chatos is mechaper on chayve krisos. That if you do something, remember again, what is a chatos mechaper for? Any infraction, which if done intentionally, would be chayiv kares. If done unintentionally, you'd bring a chatos. We'll say, that's a pretty powerful carbon. So perhaps again, chatos can't serve as the paradigm for anything. To which the Gemara says, you're right. Chada mechada lo asya. The truth is, we'll say, so now I just want to point out just what happened over here. Just to follow the train of thought, because it's actually not complex. Just a lot of steps. We're asking an exegetical question, right? What's our exegetical question? If B is learned out from A, by means of a hekesh, a comparison, can B serve as the source of a kal v'chomer for C? Right? That's what we're asking. So the Gemara says, well, we had a different question. Tanya Rabbi Shmuel said, that's a little bit differently. If B is learned out from A by way of a hekesh, can B then serve as a binyan av, as a paradigm for C? Which is a little bit of a different question, but same basic idea, that if B is a derivative, can B serve as a source? So the Gemara says, so the Gemara answers, well, let's take a look at this case. Right? Gemara says, let's learn out that there's an obligation of Asham ultimately again from Chatos. Just like Chatos, I'm sorry, that there's an obligation of Tzafon, obligation of North. Just like Chatos ultimately again has an obligation of North, so too Asham has an obligation of North as well. Through ultimately again a Binyan Av. Now, where is Chatos itself learned out from? Chatos is learned out from Ola. So it'd be Chatos learned out from Ola by means of a Hekish. And then Chatos also ultimately serves as a Binyan Av for Asham. Now, the fact that the Torah goes out of its way to write a north obligation by Asham indicates to us that we don't want to use that mechanism, right? Because otherwise the Torah could have omitted a northern statement by Asham and learned it out by means of this limud. The fact that the Torah goes out of its way to state north obligation by Asham indicates to us that we do not want to use Chatos as a binyan av, because Chatos is learned out from a hekish to Ola, to which the Gemara just essentially answers, well, maybe not, maybe not. Maybe at the end of the day, Chatos is just unique because it's Mechaper ultimately again on Chai V'Krisos. Ola is unique ultimately because it's totally consumed on the Mizbeach. That's why the Torah had to go out of its way to write Tzafon, a north obligation by Asham. To which the Gemara says, okay. So now we'll say, essentially what we have over here in front of us are three Karbanos, ultimately again with a north obligation, or three categories of Karbanos. I've got Ola, Chatos, Asham. All of them have the same north obligation. So the Gemara says, Chadam echad alo asya. No one of these could have been directly derived from one other. In other words, right, well, so you hear that? Like, you can't derive Chatos from Ola, Asham from Ola, Asham from Chatos, or Asham from Ola, right? So in other words, I can't, and Ola, I don't need to derive anything, because remember again, Ola, the Torah writes it explicitly over there. So I can't derive one from one. But the Gemara says, maybe instead of going ahead and having to learn out all three, we can just go ahead and learn out two, and learn out the third, ultimately again, from the two that are darshan. So the Gemara says, "Hey, Tisi. So which? How should we do this? Lo nichta of Rachmana Ola. So let the Torah not make any mention of Ola, of a tzafon, of a northern obligation by Ola. V'tisi mi'chatas va'asham. And I would have said instead, once we know that Chatas and Asham have a north obligation, then I would say that Ola has a tzafon, a north obligation as well. The Gemara says that's not going to work. Why not? Ma'alahanach shechim mechaprin. Because Chatos and Asham are unique. Or I should say, what makes them unique above Ola? They're mechaper. They atone. They're sin offerings. Therefore, they affect atonement. So therefore, if we would have just learned out a tzafon obligation by Chatos and Asham, I would have said atonement karbanos have a tzafon obligation, but lav dafka that I know anything by Ola. Lo nichtov rachmana b'chatos v'tisi mihanach. So don't say anything by Chatos and learn out the northern obligation ultimately again of Chatos from Ola and Asham. Malahanach shekin scharet. It's not going to work ultimately again because Ola and Asham are male animals, whereas the Chatos can be male or female. Okay, lo nichtov ba'asham v'tisi mihanach. So don't say anything by Asham and learn it out from a Chatos and an Ola. Malahanach shekin yeshnam b'tzibur kibiyachid. Here's the Rebbe said that both Chatos and Ola, ultimately again, there is a communal version of this karban, which Asham does not have. So rather, we'll say, what do we say? So therefore, again, we'll say, therefore the Gemara says it doesn't work. This whole thing ultimately again doesn't work. So therefore, we'll say, interestingly enough, it does sound like halacha lemaisa, you can go ahead and take something that was learned out from a hekesh and go ahead and use it. Gemara doesn't answer for kavach omer, but at least ultimately again, for a binyan av. Okay, so that's category one. Now, we'll say, I just want to tell you the backdrop to this, is a statement of Rabbi Yochanan, which we ended off yesterday's daf with. What did Rabbi Yochanan say? Rabbi Yochanan said, in general, b'chol haTorah kula, throughout the entire Torah, lemeidin lamad milamed. In general, Rabbi Yochanan says, in kol haTorah kula, you could use a derivative halacha as a source for something else. The only place you can't do this is kachim. Now, our Gemara now is disagreeing with that a little bit, right? Our Gemara seems to be analyzing the possibility that halacha lemaisa, you can use derivatives to use as source. We're going to reconcile that in a little while. Next, I will say, by the way, I'm going to point out, well, let's go a little bit later. So next, darva lamin b'gzera shava, maushi lamin b'hekish. Next question, what about something that has learned that from g'zera shava? So, you know, we'll say, let's say, B, is learned out from A, is derived from A, through use of a gzera shava. Okay? What's the halacha? Ma shilami behekesh? Can then B be used as a source for C with a hekesh, with a comparison? Rapapa says, v'zos toras zevach hashlamim ima al toda. So the pasuk says, literally, v'zos toras zevach hashlamim, this is the halacha of shlamim, asher yakriv la'ashem, im al toda yakrivenu. So what says, after the Torah speaks about shlamim, the Torah, the next pasuk, literally speaks about karban toda. Lamadlu, listen to this, lamadlu, shetot l'toda sheba min ha-maiser. So what says, interestingly enough, the halacha, this is actually a fascinating halacha, that a karban toda can be brought from Meiser Sheni. Came brought from Meiser Sheni. So if you have a Meiser Sheni animal, ultimately, again, you could go ahead and bring a carbon toda from that. Take a look at Rashi. Lamadu l'toda. It's a bit above. If you go across to the right in Rashi, maybe about 10 lines up. So Rashi says, Lamadu l'toda. Mikan behekesh mishlamim sheba min ha-maiser. Imperish b'shas nidro. Amanas l'havi mimaos Meiser Sheni. So as I say, interestingly enough, a carbon toda can be brought from Meiser Sheni. Just a fascinating halacha. Rashi points out over here, this only works if you do it at the time, if you stipulate this at the time that you make the neder to bring the carbon toda. Okay, interesting. So Gemara says, "Mida'ashkichon shlamim da'asu mimaiser," because we'll say, since we find that shlamim can be brought from Meiser Sheni, and shlamim, Gemara says, and remember, so what's the idea? Since shlamim can be brought from Meiser Sheni, and carbon toda is juxtaposed to shlamim, therefore, just like shlamim can be brought from Meiser Sheni, so too carbon toda can be brought from Meiser Sheni as well. Twisting Gemara says, "Well, hold up here. Shlamim gufayhu minavon. How do you know that a carbon shlamim can be brought from Meiser Sheni?" So, I just want to point out what this means. It's actually very interesting. Remember, what's Meiser Sheni? We'll say Meiser Sheni is on your produce, right? So, what do? I have produce. Baruch Hashem, I live in Eretz Yisrael. I live in Tel Aviv. I don't want to take all of my produce with me to Yerushalayim. So, what do I do? I redeem it onto money. I take the money to Yerushalayim. Now, what the Gemara is telling me is, watch this. I can take my money when I'm in Yerushalayim, and I can use the money to buy a carbon shlamim. Not only that, I could also use the money to buy a carbon toda. Now, why can I buy? Because now the Gemara is like this. Since I could use money to buy a carbon shlamim, and carbon toda is juxtaposed ultimately again to shlamim, that just like you could use Meiser Sheni for a shlamim, you could use Meiser Sheni money for a toda. Beautiful. To which the Gemara says, but 1 second. How do you know that you're allowed to use Meiser Sheni money for shlamim? Where did you get that from? To which the Gemara says, Dichsiv, because the Gemara says, Sham. It's Gzeir Shava. Ultimately, again, it says Sham in the context of Shlamim, and it says Sham in the context, ultimately, again, of Meiser Sheni. So, we'll say, you see what happened over here? So, the Gemara just went ahead and learned out that Shlamim can be brought from Meiser Sheni with Gzeir Shava, and then used shlamim ultimately again as a hekish, as a comparison to carbon toda. Right? Since shlamim is juxtaposed to carbon toda, just like shlamim ultimately again can be brought from Meiser Sheni, so too toda can be brought from Meiser Sheni. So incredible. So what is this an example of? This is an example ultimately again of a derivative halacha being used as a hekesh or something else. So remember, shlamim is learned out from a gzera shava, ultimately again to Meiser Sheni, and then the juxtaposition of shlamim to toda tells me that just like shlamim can be bought with Meiser Sheni money, so to toda can be bought with Meiser Sheni money. Incredible. So just an example of the use of this exegetical method. Meiser, that's not really a good comparison. I'll tell you why. Meiser dagan chulin ba'amul. Again, I'll say, remember again, we're asking this question in the context of kadshim. Right? All these exegetical questions are exegetical questions Dafka asked in the context of Kachim, to which the Gemara says, Meiser Sheni is Chulin. Right? In other words, it's a designation ultimately again on unconsecrated produce. So that's not really helpful to our particular question, right? Our question at hand ultimately again is the use of derivative halachas in kachim law. But Meiser Sheni is not really kachim law. Meiser Sheni is much more considered to be chulin, to which the Gemara says, Amar Amra, Lamad Kodesh, Umalami Kodesh, to which he answered, remember, that's not true. As long as one of the derivatives in the equation is Karbanos, is Kodshim, then that satisfies the criteria of our inquiry, right? What we're asking about, say, is, can a derivative halacha serve as a source halacha in the realm of Kodshim? As long as one of the sides of the equation, right, either A or C, is dealing with Kodshim, that satisfies the criteria for our inquiry and is on point. Okay, so if I will say, it's interesting, I just want to point out, so it sounds like what the Gemara is saying is, something, right, if B is learned out from A by dint of a gzeira shava, B can serve as the source of a hekesh with C, right? How do we know that? Because shlamim, we learn out that shlamim is able to be brought from ma'aser sheni through a gzeira shava with ma'aser sheni. So shlamim is the B, ma'aser sheni is the A, and then shlamim serves as the comparison by dint of the juxtaposition to Shlamim, I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Shlamim is learned out from Ma'aser Sheni, and then again through Gzeira Shava, and then Toda is juxtaposed to Shlamim. So there's a Hekish over there. So you see from here that Shlamim is learned out from Gzeira Shava, and then serves as a Hekish ultimately again to Karban Toda. Incredible. Let's go right there. Davar Halamim Gzeira Shava, Ma'aser Shlamim Gzeira Shava. I was about to say, I think you might ask a different question. What if B is learned out from A through a gzera shava, could B then serve as the source or as part of a gzera shava with C? That's the shayla. Amar Abraham, Tana, we learned this. Solas merbeches lamanu l'revuka sheba asolas. So both say again, the pasuk over here says solas merbeches. Now both say now again, talking about this, actually talking, carbon toda is brought with 40 different loaves, right, of different types. So one of the loaves that's brought is what's called a scalded loaf. Skald loaf, so it's made like with boiling water. So the Gemara says that halacha l'maisa, this revuka, which is what we call this scalded loaf, is brought with soles. The Rebbe said, now what's soles? Fine flour. Chalos minayin, how do I know that the loaf's called chalos, which is just another type of loaf for the karban toda, is also brought with soles? Talmud lomar, chalos, gzer shava, chalos. Rikike minayin, how do I know, Rebbe said, that we call the wafer loaves? Those are also brought with soles. These are all different loaves of the carbon toda. Minayin tabalomar, matzos. Ultimately, again, gzera shava. So what you see over here is ultimately, again, a two-tier gzera shava. So again, B is being learned out from A with the gzera shava, then being used as part of a gzera shava with C. So it sounds like even something learned out with the gzera shava can serve as part of the gzera shava with something else. Amar Rabina, mimai dematzos matzos, mimai dematzos matzos, mechalos gamar. How do you know ultimately again that the gzera shava of matzos is built on chalos? Dilma mima'afet tanur gamar. Maybe actually it's being learned out from a general carbon mincha and not from carbon toda at all. Therefore, again, I'll say halacha l'maisa, it's not a raya. So ela amar Rava, rather Rava said tanya. It's actually very interesting. We learned, I will say, this is by the par of the Kohen Gadol. By the par of the Kohen Gadol. So we learned, Tanya, Vikirbo, so the pasuk over here says as follows, Vikirbo upirsho. So Kirbo said, now literally, Kirbo means it's kishkas, it's inside of the carbon, upirsho. Pirsho means any waste that is inside of the animal. And again, I will say, remember, by the par of the Kohen Gadol, it's very unique. What happens? Shchita, Kabbalah, Zriga, done inside of the Beis HaMikdash, but then the intact animal, is actually taken outside and burnt outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Torah says over here, Kirbo or Pirsho Vehosi, the insides, the kishkas of the animal, and any waste inside of the animal remains inside of the animal, and you take it out to be burnt. Which I will say is another way of saying what? Another way of saying is we don't cut up the animal inside of the Beis HaMikdash. We don't take it out. We shecht it, we get the blood, and then we take it out fully intact to be burned. Malamed shemotzio shalim. This teaches us that halacha l'maisa, you take the animal out complete, right, intact, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, ultimately again to burn it. Yachol yisrafenu shalim. So you might have thought ultimately again that we burn it intact also. Now what does that mean? I might have thought that maybe there's no removal of sacrificial parts, right, and that we burn the whole thing intact. Ne'emar kan rosho ukrav. It says over here, its head and its insides. Ve'ne'emar lahalon rosho ukrav. And it says by an ola, Rosh HaKrav as well. Ma lahalon ayideni tuach, just like again by the ola, obviously the sacrificial parts are removed. Afkan ayideni tuach. So to over here, ultimately again, the sacrificial parts are removed as well. Ima lahalon behefshit. So you might have thought that just like by the ola, the animal is flayed, right? It's skin. So to over here by the par kohen gadol, it should be skinned as well. Tamalomar ukirba upirsho. Therefore, the pasuk says ultimately again, its insides and its waist remains inside. My Talmudos, what are we learning? Amar Papa, kishem shepirsho bikirbo kach besar bikirbo. The same way that waist remains on the inside of the animal, so too again the kishkas remain on the inside of the animal as well. Rabbi says, Ne'emar kan ar ubasar. It says over here, ar and basar. So the Gemara says, Amud Beis, Ne'emar lahalon ar ubasar. And it says by the par kohen moshe. So I say, now watch what we're doing is, right? Remember, all of this is once you learn out B from A, we now want to use B to go ahead and serve as a source of something else. So it says over here, by the par kohen gadol, ultimately again, ar and basar, v'ne'emar lahalon. And it says by the par kohen mashiach, ar and basar. Sorry, v'ne'emar lahalon, ar baso perish. And it says by the par kohen gadol, flesh, skin, and waste. Ma lahalon ayidei nituach shelo behefshit. Just like ultimately again over there, we remove the sacrificial parts without cutting up the animal. Afkan ayidei nituach shelo behefshit. So too over here, we ultimately again will go ahead and remove the sacrificial parts without cutting up the animal. So we'll say, what have we just done? We've just learned out a secondary gzera shava from a first gzera shava. B was learned out from a par kohen gadol. Ultimately again was learned out from ola through a gzera shava, and then ultimately again par kohen mashiach was ultimately learned out from another gzera shava. So we learned out a gzera shava from a gzera shava. Incredible. So therefore, again, it sounds like ultimately, you're allowed to do this. Again, you'll just keep in the back of your mind, all of this stands in contradistinction, ultimately, the statement of Rabbi Yochanan that we saw before, that when it comes to kachim, we do not learn out derivative halachas. Obviously, all of this is against Rabbi Yochanan, which we'll have to discuss. And I will say, at this point in the shir, you may be asking yourself, right, what is going on over here, right? I just want to point out why a sugya like this is incredibly important. In life, the process is just as important as the finish line. Right? We often like to focus that as long as the job is complete, at the end of the day, who cares how you got there? And that is fundamentally false. The process is just as important, and dare I say, even more important than ultimately the completion or the actualization or the finish line of the task. Why? Because it is often the process, ultimately, again, that builds us as people. It's the process that builds character, it's the process that builds stamina, and it's the process that builds resolve. On a very basic level, it's the process that determines everything. Imagine for a moment there's someone you love and you're giving them a gift, right? Whatever it is, a spouse, a sibling, a friend. So imagine for a moment you take the gift, you go to your wife and you say, here, happy birthday, right? Go knock yourself out, right? Happy birthday. Right? The gift could be the most exquisite gift in the world, most beautiful gift in the world, right? But if the process through which that gift has been given is flawed, the gift is rendered fundamentally meaningless. Now, let's say, what makes Torah beautiful and meaningful? It's a willingness to toil in it. And a willingness to toil even when I don't necessarily know what's happening every moment. And even when I'm wondering to myself, why do I have to do this? You ever have a conversation with someone who you love very much? Perhaps it's a spouse. And you're wondering to yourself, why are we having this conversation, right? Maybe we've spoken about this 50 times already. We've had the same exact conversation over and over and over. And you're ready to say what? No one's going to go on record saying this, right? I don't know who's on. You're ready to say, we spoke about this. Yeah, and yes, actually, like, I agree with you. Like we're not even on opposite sides. I said I agree. I said you're right. I said I'm sorry. Just give me a moment over here. I said I said I said I said I, 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 We did this. We did this already. Everyone knows relationship building 101. You need to do it as many times as it takes. Because that's part of the process of building a relationship. It's part of the process of building security. It's part of the process, ultimately, again, of building dialogue. Because it's not just about, okay, we did this, tap this, mission accomplished, next. The process is so profoundly important. Because then when at some point in time later on, having that same conversation 50 times builds that relationship muscle, builds the foundation. And at some point in time, when you need to lean on that foundation because something is really difficult and challenging, you have all of that buildup of that foundation. It's the same thing in Torah. Whether you recognize it or not, Rabosai, working through this sugya, and yes, Rabosai, I just want to point out, because I know what happens for all of us, and I'd be in the same boat if I did not give the shir, at a certain point in time, you're like, I'm out. And either I'm literally doing something else, I start learning something else, I'm focusing on something else, and I will get back in when there's something reasonably meaningful and helpful that's going to come my way. I will say, if you do that, just understand, you're missing out on some of the key parts of the relationship. This whole Gemara is about process. Process is often the driest part of relationships. Process is often the most unexciting part of relationships. Process is often the parts that are like, are we done yet? Can we please get to something else? But without it, you are fundamentally unprepared to build on that relationship going forward. That's what this is. This is literally process 101. Can you learn this? Can you learn this? It's not complicated. A little bit dry, but don't blame that on Chazal, you can blame that on me. Right? A little bit dry, but so profoundly necessary, both for Gemara, our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and how we address the fundamental processes in all areas of our life. So with that, let's dig back in. Third line from the top of the Nama base. Devar Alam B'Gzeder Shabbat, Ma'ashayim V'Kavach Omer. So ultimately, Gemara says, listen to this. So if something is learned out from Gzera Shava, right? So again, B is learned out from A with Gzera Shava. Can B then serve as a Kal V'Chomer with C? So we're just asking the same question in multiple different iterations. So the Gemara says, Kal V'Chomer. So Gemara says, of course you can. It's a Kal V'Chomer you can, which is so interesting. Kal V'Chomer. Uma Hekesh She'enu Malamid Behekesh. So I'll say one of the things we've established is if B is learned out from a hekish with A, B can't serve as a hekish with C. Now that was learned out from one of two pieces that was in yesterday's daf, either from Rava or from Ravina. Sigmar says, Melame Bekava Chomer. Yeah, I will say B is learned out from a hekish with A, B can serve as a Kavach Chomer with C. Now that we learned in yesterday, or you just learned, Midatan is very Bishma. As we just learned from Tad Berei Bishwa, that's what we just saw before in Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, Gzera Shava, Hamila Medes Behagesh Midra Papa. So the Gzera Shava can be learned from a Hekesh. In other words, if B is learned from A with a Hekesh, with Gzera Shava, can then serve as a source of a Hekesh, that's Rav Papa. In Odish Talmud Kavachomer, of course it can be used as a Kavachomer. Interesting, so the Gemara wants to answer this up with a Kavachomer, that we learn from a Kavachomer that if B is learned out from A, ultimately, again, with the Gzeir Shava, ultimately, again, B could serve as a Kal V'Chomer with C. Incredible. So, Hani Chalamande is Leid Rapapa. So, that makes sense if you subscribe to the view of Rapapa. Elamande less Leid Rapapa, Michael and Mimar. But ultimately, again, if you don't subscribe to Rapapa, what is there to say? Ella Kal V'Chomer. The Gemara says it's a Kal V'Chomer. It's fascinating. The Gemara is using a Kal V'Chomer to teach us, ultimately, again, exegetical processes. Uma Hekish. She'in malamid behekish. So remember again, if something is learned out by dint of a hekish, it cannot serve as the source of a hekish for something else. So if B is learned out from a comparison with A, so B can't serve as a primary comparison for C. So the Gemara says, imid rava imid rabina. So that's based on the sources that we saw in yesterday's af, rava or rabina. Yet again, something learned out from a hekish, Melame Bekavachomer, can serve as the source of a Kavachomer. Where did we learn that from? Midatan de Berei Yishma, that's what we just saw. Gzera Shava, Hamelamedes Begzera Shava, Chaverta. So ultimately, again, Gzera Shava, which can be learned out from another Gzeirah Shava. Where did we see that from? Midrami Bar Chama, Rabbi said, this is all today's daf, as we learn from Rabbi Chama, Einodin Shetlan B'Kav HaChomer, can certainly serve as the source for a Kav HaChomer. So if a Gzeirah Shava, right, if something like that from a Gzeirah Shava could serve as part of another Gzeirah Shava, then certainly something like that from a Gzeirah Shava could ultimately be used as part of a Kav HaChomer. Incredible. So Gemara answer from a Kav HaChomer. Fascinating. Next, Davar Halamim B'Gzeirah Shava. And I will say, by the way, I'll just point out, for us, obviously, these conversations don't have that much applicability. Why? Because we're not the ones making the drushas. But understand, for the Gemara, this is the bread and butter of Talmudic discourse. Because we're going to both say, this is talking about the mechanics through which you could learn things out. So these principles, again, for us, like I said, we're not making the drushas. So for me, I'm just like, tell me what we do. Just bottom line, like, tell me what we could learn. But for Chazal sitting in the base medrash, trying to understand, well, if B's learn that from A through a Kav HaChomer, can I use it for a Hekesh? Can I use it for a Gzeir Shava? This is it. This literally, again, Rabbi said, this is where the magic, if you know what that feeling you're feeling, that's the magic happening, right? That is the magic happening. Like I said, because again, this is exactly how we answer this determines how pretty much like the rest of Shas is going to be structured. Incredible. Next, Darvalam Vigzer Shava, Mao Shilam Binyanav. So I'll say, interestingly enough, if something is learned out from Gzeirah Shava, can it serve as a paradigm? So if B is learned out from A with Gzeirah Shava, can B then serve as a binyan ava paradigm? Tishni Gemara says, Teiku. Interesting. Okay. Next, Darvalam Bekav Chomer, Mao Shilam Behekish. If something is learned out from a Kav HaChomer, it says B is learned out from A with a Kav HaChomer. So ultimately, again, can B be used with C as a Hekish? So the Gemara says, Mid Rabbi Yochanan, Malami Behekish, I'm sorry, Mid Rabbi Yochanan, Malami Behekish, Mid Rabbi Papa. So the Gemara says, yeah, Beis Rabbi Yochanan, Beis Rabbi Papa. The Kav HaChomer, Halami Behekish, Mid Tana, the Beit Rabbi Shmuel. So what's this? It's a Kav HaChomer that has learned out from a Hekish. Ultimately, again, from Rabbi Shmuel. The Gemara says, listen to this. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry. Kav HaChomer halam mehekish, mitan Rabbi Shmuel. Eino din shilam mehekish. So hanichal man isle drav papa. That works fine. Ultimately, again, if you subscribe to the view of Rav Papa, el man de lesle drav papa, my ikal neymar. But if you don't subscribe to Rav Papa, I will say, again, this is all just mentioning all of the shitas that we have seen in the last 2 days. So what is there to say? Teiku. Probably use it as a teiku. Okay, next. Davar halam b'kav HaChomer, ma'ashlam b'gzeirah shava. If something is learned out from a Kav HaChomer, so we'll say, so B is learned out from A with a Kav HaChomer, can B then serve as the source or as part of the gzeirah shava with C? To which the Gemara says, it's a Kav HaChomer. Interesting. Gemara says, yes. The answer is yes, based on a Kav HaChomer. Or I should say, the answer could be found based on a Kav HaChomer. What's the Kav HaChomer? Uma gzeirah shava, she'ena l'meida b'hekesha. So we'll say, since it's something out from a gzeirah shava, if something is learned out from a Gzeirah Shava, it cannot be used as part of a Hekish. Mid Rabbi Yochanan. And that's based on Rabbi Yochanan. Yet, Melamed B'Gzeirah Shava, Mid Rabbi Bar Chama. Yet Rabbi says something learned out from a Gzeirah Shava can be used as the source of another Gzeirah Shava. That's Rabbi Bar Chama. Therefore, Kav HaChomer, Halamed B'Hekish, therefore, Kav HaChomer, ultimately, again, a Kav HaChomer learned out by a Hekish, Mid Rabbi Shmuel, certainly can serve as the source, ultimately, again, for a Gzeirah Shava. So therefore, again, Rabbi say, based on that, the Gemara says that something learned out from a Kav HaChomer, ultimately, again, can be used as the source for a Gzeirah Shava. Fascinating. One more piece, Rabbi say. Gemara says, Davar Halomet, Davar B'Kav HaChomer, Mao Shi Yilamid B'Kav HaChomer. So we'll say, interesting question. If B is learned out from A with a Kav HaChomer, can B then serve as the source of a Kav HaChomer, part of a Kav HaChomer with C? So the Gemara says, Gemara answers, Kav HaChomer. It's a Kav HaChomer. What's the Kav HaChomer? Uma Gzeir Shava Shein L'Meida B'Hekish, Mid Rabbi Yochanan. So if a Gzeir Shava, right, something like that from a Gzeir Shava, ultimately, again, cannot be used as a Hekish. That's Rabbi Yochanan. Malan B'Kav HaChomer, yet can be used as a source for a Kav HaChomer. Kidda Amran, as we said, Kav HaChomer Halomim Mehekish. So ultimately, again, if a Kav HaChomer, something learned out from a Kav HaChomer, ultimately, again, can be used as part of the Hekish, Mid Tanya D'Rabbi Yishmael, as we saw Tanya D'Rabbi Yishmael, Eino Din Shilami B'Kav HaChomer. Ultimately, again, certainly can be used as a Kav, or be learned from a Kav HaChomer as well. V'zeu Kav HaChomer Ben Kav HaChomer. And I will say, interestingly enough, this is what we call a kavachomer ben a kavachomer. So you see from here that a double kavachomer ultimately works. The Gemara says, well, in reality, ben b'nosha kavachomer hu. In reality, I will say, this is actually what you just mentioned, actually a three-tier kavachomer. Ela kavachomer. Right, the Gemara says, it's the kavachomer. What's the kavachomer? And I will say, remember again, the Gemara is asking over here, something learned out. That's the Gemara's question. If something is learned out from a kavachomer, can it then serve as a part of another kavachomer? If B is learned out from A with a kavachomer, can B then go ahead and ultimately serve as a kavachomer with C? The Gemara says, that's a kavachomer. Ma hekish, sheino lomid behekish, imidramid rabino. If B is learned out from A with a hekish, right? Ultimately, again, B cannot serve as a hekish with C. That's one of the things we've already established. And that's based either on Rava or Ravina. Yet, melamed b'kavachomer. Yet, if B is derived from A with a hekish, B can serve as a kavachomer with C. Meitai Rabbi Yishmael, kavachomer, halamed mehekish. So all the more so similar from hekish. Meitai Rabbi Yishmael, eno din shiyelamed b'kavachomer. Ultimately, you certainly can be learned that from a kavachomer. Vezel kavachomer ben kavachomer. So we'll say, interestingly enough, it turns out that halacha lemaisa, the Gemara says, I shouldn't say halacha lemaisa, based on what the Gemara is saying over here, is that if B is learned out from a kavachomer with A, then ultimately, again, B can serve as a kavachomer, ultimately, again, with C. Next. Davar lami kavachomer, mashlam binyan av. So we'll say, next question. If B is learned out from a kavachomer, ultimately again with A, so again can that kavachomer ultimately again then serve as a binyan av? What's a binyan av? A binyan av is a paradigm. We loosely translate it as a paradigm, right? It creates a paradigm, and therefore anything else that kind of fits in that paradigmatic framework will share the same halacha. But if you remember again, we started with this, and this was the beginning of today's daf. Right, they wanted to suggest that maybe like chatos, right? Chatos becomes like a paradigm for sin offerings, and therefore usha will automatically be included in that paradigm as well. So now the Gemara switches gears a little bit, or at least start to say the Gemara says, if B is learned out from a kavachomer, if B is learned out by dint of a kavachomer, can B then serve as a paradigm for C? I'm Rabbi Yirmiya Tashma, Malak v'nimseis trefa. So it's an interesting case over here. Let's say the coin did Malika, and we'll say, you know what, we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem. We'll pick up with this. So I just want to point out, we're almost finished with this. We are almost finished with this. Right? Almost finished. So tomorrow's daf. We have one more little piece with this. Just, I know it feels like we've been through every single exegetical combination possibly known to man. There's actually two more left. We'll get to those tomorrow, Emirat Hashem. We will then see the halacha lemaisa on this, and then Emirat Hashem get back to our regular sugya. We'll say shkoyach, shkoyach, shkoyach.